a short one.
So you want a lot of interaction?
Yeah, there better be some interaction.
You are so good at that.
You know, when you walk rough and leave your computer, I mean, it was like, I was so excited about the Bible study today because the Lord showed me some really neat things that you'll see next week if I am not absent-minded again. At that point, I think I put my computer in my car the night before. But anyway, so as soon as it hit me, we were about halfway and it was too late to go back. And this scripture, I mean, instantly came on me. So we're going to talk about that. Go to James 1.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a Phillips somewhere?
I think Clyde has.
Oh, I would love to have a Phillips if we have one somewhere.
It's in Clyde's room.
Yeah, go to the very first chapter.
They always say Peter, James, and John
sat
in the back of the
boat. Oh, we got one? Awesome.
What happened to Jude? He's back there, too. You never talk about him.
Okay, this is a scripture that we all know, we've all heard a million times, but we're going to break it down in a way that maybe you've never broken it down. Let's read it in a couple. Let's go from verse, 2.
What chapter? One.
First chapter, verse 2. And let's go all the way down. Let's go all the way. I want to concentrate on the first part, like verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Well, yeah, to 4. But let's go ahead and read 5 all the way down to verse 8. So 2 to 8. Okay, anybody want to read real loud so everyone can hear?
Want to amplify?
Sure.
All right, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and unclean about everything he thinks, feels, and decides.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, let's read it in the J.B. Phillips, because I've never seen this scripture any better than what it is here. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is by far the best. I mean, it just really puts everything in perspective. It says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers and sisters, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let that process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men and women of mature character, men and women of integrity, with no weak spots. So I just kind of felt, driving down the road, I thought, okay, now how am I going to react to this? It's too late to go back.
Which is true of all things.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. It's too embarrassing to go forward. So I could accidentally have a flat tire. I could accidentally get stuck at Starbucks in a big line and can't get out. No. The Lord brought this scripture to me and said, you know, why do we think for even a second that our lives should be problem free? I mean, why do we think that? Why do we think?
It's just kind of insane.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's
insane.
Yeah.
You really say it out loud and hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is insanity to expect everything to go on exactly the way you want it to go.
Just us. Because we are the most important person.
Exactly.
And all things revolve around our lives.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's insane.
It's narcissist.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, I'm thinking, okay, and I've thought this before. Julie and I talked about this a week or so ago. It was like, you know, 7/8, 80%, let's say, of your life is just awesome. It's going great. You know, the marriage, the friendships, it's just awesome that, you know, the church family, bills are paid, whatever the situation is. And why do we concentrate on that one thing that is maybe just not the way you want it to be? You got all this to be thankful for. You got all this to be grateful for. You got all this that God has blessed you abundantly with. And where does our focus go? Wow, I left my computer on the desk of my office, and I'm bummed out now, you know, because he gave me all, I was up early this morning, and he gave me all this one. It's like, I just felt the Lord said, it wasn't for today.
Okay. Yes, 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 that's true. That's true. It happened for a reason.
It happened for a reason.
It had a purpose.
You trust me, and I'll trust my timing.
There
that's
you go.
The hardest thing to trust.
There you go.
We trust God, but we have a hard time trusting His timing.
Yeah.
We focus on our pride, and that's part of it. We focus on
our that's problems. What we just were saying. We were saying that 80% of our life, Mike, can be just awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, really going well. Your health is there. Your kids' health's there. Everybody's doing pretty good.
But a little fly in the ointment.
But yeah. Your furnace goes out.
The funny thing is that it's not even just your focus. It's it becomes obsessive. Obsession. As if none of the other stuff even matters. It's up in there like, you know.
I was talking to I was in a group the other night, and I was talking to a lady. She said, she started writing down every day at the end of the day all the good things that happened to her and all the bad things that happened to her. And I said to her, I said, well, what was the result? She said the good things outweighed the bad things
by
a mile.
That's not even indicative, because we know that some of those good things could turn bad, and some of those bad things might really be good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Just like the story about the Chinese gentleman whose son, you've heard all that, so I'm not going to go into that story.
Talks about.
I mean, you know, all that's bad, that's bad. No, no, no. That's good. First of all, if it's God's will, mm-hmm. he's a good God. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a righteous God. He is a God that loves us more than we can ever imagine. You know, and we were looking that last October. Roy Ralph gave a word to Julie, and we finally got around to transcribing it. I did, and it was. He started out saying, "You never thought that you could look. You never thought that you could find a love like you have in him, meaning me." And he says, and something about, and you know, my love for you is so much greater. You know, something to that effect. That now you're realizing how much I love you. You know, because the things that I've done for you, the things that I've given you, the things that I've blessed you with, you know that you could never have put all that together yourself. You know, no matter how hard you tried, you could have never put that together yourself. That you know, you know, we've said many times in the 7+ years we've been married is, wow, God moved there, didn't he?
We said it this morning.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
The things that you're saying about God's love, and I've said these things to my niece this week because my sister-in-law passed away.
Oh.
And my brother was there with her. He was almost gone. And she was just heartbroken, you know, crushed. She probably saw it coming. They have a drug problem. They always have. Mm-hmm. And I saw her little message said, you know, something about God hates me.
Oh.
And I just texted her and said, God loves you with an everlasting love. And there's nothing that you can do
to
make him stop.
That's right.
Yes.
And
that's true.
Unconditional.
The week went on, I mean, people just kept encouraging her, and I think she feels a whole lot better now. But, I mean, you know, when something like that happens, why do we even go there? But we do. I mean, it's like, why me?
It's that duality, mm-hmm. that duality that we have where
that's right,
we're... Double-mindedness. Mm-hmm. It's that double-mindedness where we allow ourselves, and if we entertain that, it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger, and then you sit there and say, wow, I've got a serious problem on my hands. Yeah. You know, but if you stop it, I mean, I've been known at times when my mind starts to do that crazy stuff, and I'll yell and audibly, I'll say, stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm not entertaining these thoughts anymore. They're negative. They're, you know, anything that's not eternal and of God is a lie. The devil's a liar, and he's the accuser of the brethren, so he's going to accuse you of stuff, which means you may be accusing yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay? But it's still that accusing spirit that we cannot entertain. We can't think about it. We can't even entertain. It can't even, if it does enter our mind, we've got to get the shield of faith up and quench that fiery dart. It's got to stop, you know, and get that little fox out of the hen house, you know. I mean, we have the ability to say no, but we got to use it. We can sit there and say, I've got the power to overcome the devil.
I've been known to, you know, if you do something you've done 1,000 times, and you've done it right 1,000 times, and then all of a sudden you do it, and you screw it all up, you mess it all up, and then I attack myself for being, I'll say, what do you think, it's stupid?
Yes.
And that's what happens. We will attack ourselves. Mm-hmm. And
that's how this morning, Mike.
Thinking,
how can I be so stupid?
That's right. Yeah. Right
in my mind.
There's another.
And I'm like you. I say, stop it now. Just stop it.
The other side of that coin is that every single thing we find, we say it's someone else's fault.
Yeah.
Anything that we do that doesn't work out, somebody is subverting our, you know. And truthfully, as long as we are in this lowered state that God put us, we will have that, but overcome. We are, I believe we are able to overcome. Ask, holding back nothing, but ask. And instead of asking that this thing that's not going right be put, be given to us according to our will, not God's will, ask that we welcome in these trials as friends.
Yeah.
Those are the, that's the way that we can overcome this. We can. I've done it for about 3 seconds, you know, and then it takes over. It happens. It does. It's a, it's an ongoing daily thing. It's a labor to me. I try. I do a real good job for a small amount of time, even loving and praying for others, and then something will happen, and it's not going my way.
You get sidetracked.
And I get right in there, you know. And usually mine is, well, do this, do that, send this text, call, email, do this, do that. Do something, and fix it, fix it, fix it. When we should be praying. Here's a trial. Come on in. Have a Coke.
I remember sitting in church one day and just thinking about this episode that happened. I won't go into it, but it was one of the most soul-crushing things that ever happened to me. And I was thinking, why does this person feel this way about me? I was not wrong. And the Lord said to me, well, you're saying you were right. And part of being right is being righteous. And there's no one righteous but
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And it's the, I could after that look at the situation in a different light and see that, well, you know, I had a responsibility in the thing. And, you know, I approached the person and eventually things got all right, but I still, you know, you think you're over it and still there's this little niggling thing that wants to and you know, you gotta be on guard of that stuff and give it over to God.
I think that's the key. Be aware that these things are gonna creep in. I mean, you know, we know down in here that everything's not going to be perfect according to our standards, according to what we believe is perfect. And that's all relative to each individual. What I might think is perfect, maybe Mike doesn't think it's perfect. What Mike thinks perfect, maybe Julie doesn't. You know, all the way across the board. So we have to sit there and say, you know what? Either God is God, and I'm going to let him, or I'm going to continue to try to control my situations. It's one or the other. There's no gray area in that. You know, you all have experienced things where you, when it happened, man, you were like, well, this is like that Chinese gentleman with the son. This is really bad. This is really bad. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe there were different things that happened financially to you. Maybe, you know, someone you really love rejected you, whatever. You know, whatever that is, you're saying, man, this is really, really bad. But how many times down the road did you look back and see the growth in you from that experience? I mean, serious growth. I mean, to a point where those things wouldn't have the same impact on you now if they happened. That's God. And that's how much he loves us, to grow us up. And, he, you know, we have to get the eyes of God in this and realize that the good work that he's begun is going to be completed. So if it's going to be completed, let's face it. If he's going to do the completing, then guess what? He's going to do it his way, not your way. If your way and his way happen to line up, praise the Lord. That's an awesome thing, because now you have the mind of Christ. Because if his will and your will line up, you have the mind of Christ. He already has the mind of Christ. He's Christ. Okay? But if your mind lines up with his mind and your will lines up with his will, that's what all this is about, is bringing you to that point where you're not left of center or right of center. You are dead center. You're going through that straight gate, and you see the vision, and you're heading towards the prize of the high calling.
Amen. That's good.
So let's read it in the Message just for kicks here. Consider it a sheer gift. A couple weeks ago when I preached, you know, the past is history, the future's a mystery, the present is a gift. And so we have no control over what happened in the past. We have no control of what's going to happen in the future. But we can choose today to serve him. We can choose today to love the unlovely. We can choose today to allow God to be God. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of it.
Lord help me.
So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Man, we're looking for that exit door, aren't we? As soon as that thing happens, it's like, where's the exit?
That's true.
I mean, seriously, we're not willing to sit there and let the pain and the suffering and whatever to continue. We want to figure it out and fix it and move on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it again. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Wow. That's where we're there now, but we have to start walking in it. This is it's a finished work. He already did it so that we can walk in this today. And if we're not walking in it today, we call for his help.
Yes.
Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. Lord, I can't do this, but you can through me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. And if he's strengthening you, he's going to allow you to be able to do things that you could never, ever, ever do on your own. And that's what we need. We need his strength, not ours. Mm-hmm. And we must decrease so that he can just increase and become bigger and bigger and bigger.
Thank you. You were supposed to be
your
laptop at home.
Thank you. I told him, I said, Lord, we're to be instant in season and out of season.
Yes.
This is out of season. This is out of season. You're going to have to do this.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But that's how faithful he is.
Yes.
The minute I said that, he gives me this scripture. Mm-hmm. The second. And it's because he loves us so much, and if we just trust in him and quit trying to do it ourselves, quit trying to figure it out, quit trying to understand everything. Some things you have to have the childlike faith. And you say, Lord, I don't understand this, I don't get it, and honestly, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But thy will be done, not mine. You know, this is not what I signed up for. However, you know better for me than I know for myself, so I'm going to let you, I'm not going to fight you on that. You ever fought God? You ever fought him on something where you went, I know it's your will, God, but I'm fighting you on this. I don't like this at all, and I'm, you know, you got to get me out of this, you know. Make deals with the Lord, you know. Let's make a deal, Lord. The big box on the stage or the curtain? You know, which one is going to be for us? You know? Yeah, that's what happens.
I want the
song.
Here's your choice.
You know, what I've been thinking about here is, and I'm not sure where the scripture is, but there's a state of being that comes when you can no longer be changed. Is that it's the definition of something like Hesed? I imagine it's perfection or something.
Sounds like rest.
Yeah, we're totally, completely, we can no longer be changed. And that's what this is reminding me of.
Yeah.
That I hear something and I change. They can't do that. You know, and I become somebody else. But this training that we're getting by dealing with these things is causing us to come to a place where no matter what we hear or what happens, or, you know, to us or for us or about us or what, you know, there will be no more change because we will be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, you know, so we can get this news or that news and hold on to it like then and say, well, you know, God's will be done. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will love these people. I will pray, you know. And wow, what a place of total rest.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And what we've been saying here at Wings for a long time is when we're working, God's at rest.
Mm-hmm.
When we're at rest, God's working. Man, I want him to do the work. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I want to experience that every day.
It just makes me so mad. Yesterday, God said that I'm all day doing nothing. There she goes.
There she goes, yeah.
There she goes.
Well, you know, and this is where I think the Word of God is a major comfort to all of us. Because we all know the Word of God. Every single one of us knows the Word of God. I know each and every one of you very well, and we all know the Word of God. And that's when, you know, again, the older I get, I don't know if it's the mind's gone or what. I speak out loud. I say things out loud, you know, as long as I'm not in the middle of Kroger or something, because then they might call 911 and bring the guys in the white suits. But, I will say, Lord, you will supply God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. God, you will supply all my need. No matter what happens, no matter where I am, you're going to, and need isn't necessarily just financial. It includes that. It's a lot more than just that. If that's what you're looking at, you need to broaden your horizons there, because that need might just mean just a little kiss on the cheek from God. Mm-hmm. You know, just that little intimacy where you just sense his presence right there. I mean, he's so close to us that he's in us. So don't think it's strange that we sense his presence in different times during the day, you know. But we have to seek after him, you know. I mean, does he love us enough that he'll, wherever we go, he's there? Yeah.
Yes.
But we still have to seek after him. We have to draw close to him so that he will draw close to us. And if we do that, then this becomes much easier. When his presence is all over you, can you think anything but wonderful, glorious things, and how you can glorify the Lord with your praise and your worship and your prayer? And I mean, it's just, it's easy at that point. And if we do get to our point where we come away a little bit or whatever, we have to sense that, and then we have to move back into that closeness and that intimacy with the Lord, because at that point, gosh, our lives, it's easier to step aside and let him do what he needs to do, and it's easier to enjoy your life. And it says count it all joy. So if you're going to count it all joy, it's not with a sad face, it's not with a sour puss. You know, it's with a smile and counting it all joy.
Mm-hmm. And accepting it.
And accepting it. And in expectation that God is in control and that he is going to put all things together for our good. Because he loves us so much and we love him. And so.
About a month or so ago, the Lord spoke to me about prayer. And he said to me, he said, you know, I hear your prayers, but what you need to do is wait for the answers. Because he's going to answer every prayer.
Yeah. Yep.
You just have to wait for the answer. And I tell you what, I've been trying to practice that.
Good.
Not saying I'd get there, but, you know.
And then once you get the answer,
you accept it.
Accept it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He will give us the endurance to run the race. Sometimes we feel very weary in what we're doing, but He will give us that endurance to be able to overcome in these areas. And, you know, it says that to those that overcome, man, just, if you ever get weak and you get to a point where you just, you know, wits it, go to the book of Revelation, just go to each church and see what happens when you overcome. Because when you overcome, there's wonderful things awaiting us. When we're in the midst of all that, and we're fighting with that mind and the spirit and the, you know, soul and the whatever, it's not good. There's turmoil. But once you realize that to Him who overcomes, He will sit with me on my throne. Well, where's the throne?
You can't sit on the throne if you never tried. He who overcomes.
And you know, your natural mind starts messing with you. I'm thinking, okay, there's one throne. Are you going to sit on my lap or am I going to sit on your lap? Because it says you will sit with me. Anyway, the bottom line is this is the throne. This is the mercy seat. This is where the blood is sprinkled. This is, I mean, God has given us everything we need. It's all been done. Now, what are we going to do with it? That's the big question. You know, are we going to sit there and bellyache and complain, or are we going to sit there and say, Lord, you are in control, and I'm going to let you, and I'm going to back off, and I'm going to say, thy will be done. And, you know, Jesus experienced everything we've experienced. There's not an emotion that we didn't experience, although He was without sin. But He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to be falsely accused. He knew what it was like to feel lonely. I mean, there's nothing that He didn't experience in the time that He was on this earth except sin. He never experienced sin. Everything else, every human emotion, He knows. And so when you do get to a point you get angry and you say something or whatever, don't self-condemn. Don't self-condemn, because He's not condemning you, so don't you condemn yourself, because it's easy to sit there like Mike and I have done, say, you stupid. You know, I don't ever want to call myself stupid, but I do. You know, I say, that was a stupid thing. I can't believe I did that.
I do that mostly on the golf course.
Well, you can overcome that one really easily. Just quit golfing, then you have that problem's gone.
We take care of our financial problems.
There you go.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Two birds, one stone.
There you go. He makes it easy, doesn't he?
Sure does.
All right. Anybody have any final thoughts on any of this? I apologize, but I'm not going to apologize.
No, because
God is in control, and
yes.
He knew I was going to forget that computer.
What you thought was bad?
That's yeah. Right.
Came to turn to good.
So praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we know you're preparing for next week, so.
You know, the cool thing is, I don't have to do anything. It's all the way down.
Julie will like that.
Anybody have a song on their heart? I just feel like praising the Lord right now. Anybody have a song that they're in their spirit right now that they feel like they want to? One I woke up with is unto
Thee,
O Lord, will I lift up my soul.
Unto Thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Enemies triumph over me.
Into Thy hand.
Go ahead.
I don't know all of it.
Oh Lord, teach me Thy way.
kitchen, she was doing a dance.
Not for the morning, too.
Praise the Lord, praise God.
I had her on YouTube.
Did the dance before the Lord.
Yes.
How's that be going?
Kind of scared me.
But she was enjoying herself, that's the thing.
Buddy, you want to pray for us and for the group and for the service and whatever's on your heart?
We just thank you for this gathering, Father. It shows us your love and your mercy and your grace. What fellowship we have and what joy we have. And just serving you and that you show us understanding in your word. Father, we just thank you for the trials that you place before us. But we know that they can be overcome by you.
Yes.
Through us and in us. Father, we just ask that your presence be on the service this morning and that your word will just permeate our hearts and our minds. And just show us your love, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.